When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff and a... Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Our Podcast, inside the ride and inside the place. This one for the people that I know, the guy down the bands and the bass, the wolf and the owl in the place.
Oh,
wolf,
you don't even know.
This one for the bitty bad boy, for the bitty bad boy, for the bitty bad boy.
Oh, honey.
Welcome to the Wolf and Our Podcast. I want to start this properly, and I want to give a big congratulations to my brother from another mother, Tom Davis. He knows what I'm about to say. On the last episode of the podcast, we asked each other for predictions. I can't remember exactly how it went down. And Tom said, 4-0. I think it's going to be like Holland all over again. 4-0 to England. And I doubted him. I even made a funny sort of... I've listened to the clip back and I made a little doubty noise as he did it. And then went, we'll see Tommy, my boy, or something, in a really patronising way. And it turns out, my guy was right. Did you put money on that?
I didn't have money on that exactly. I had money on over 3.5 goals. I won a little bit. I won some shekels. But the one that I was gutted on is that I genuinely... Look, we talked about this last time, but I saw something in Harry Kane this week. And, you know, obviously I've become... something of a kindred spirit to the Kane kin and the Kane family. So I made up a little
tongue twister there, haven't you? You become a kindred spirit to the Kane kin.
I put a little bit of money on Harry Kane scoring a hat trick, which would have paid for a nice holiday.
If he could have bothered to pull his finger out, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, that incredible shot he had, that
volley. That was amazing, wasn't it?
Man, you know what? I knew Harry was back. I just knew it. And let me just shout out to anyone
What was the clue when he scored in the last game?
I tell you what the clue was, his Instagram this week.
What did he say on his Instagram?
Go back through it, man.
Here we go.
His confidence is back up. His confidence, he's posting quite a lot. He's sitting there thinking about what he's going to say. Yeah, man, I want to just say as well that I think that people who have doubted Gareth Southgate, doubted Harry Kane, doubted Raheem Sterling, Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, whoever you've coached.
You don't have to go through the whole team, we get it.
If you've done that, if you go through people's social media and they've had a go at these people. I don't think they should be allowed in the stadium. I don't think they should be allowed to sing "It's Coming Home," because I think that those people really should just be literally have to put up a post saying, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'll never doubt Gareth Southgate again."
What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that in all future England setups, even if you're disgruntled or you disagree with what's been happening, you shouldn't be allowed to express that? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just think coating off particular people, singling out people.
Right.
Raheem Sterling's coming in for a lot of this. Harry Kane. People were shouting, you know, me and you saw it when we were at the game. You know, people having a go at people, you know.
But in fairness... You and I weren't that happy after the England-Scotland game, were we?
No, we weren't happy, but we didn't go onto social media and start slagging off Pacific people. We didn't start laying into Gareth Southgate. We didn't start having a go at Harry Kane. We didn't, start sort of saying this person's not trying, that person's not trying. I think, of course you can have your opinion. Of course you can sit and chat over, but I think singling out players, obviously, and people in the team, but then stand by it and go, look, I was wrong, but,
what should this post look like? This post that you said.
I think there should be a post that comes out going, you know what? I'm an idiot. I was wrong. Yeah. I apologise.
And if they get to the final, you know, fingers crossed, or go on to win it or whatever, I think you should put up a post going, I'm not allowed to enjoy this because I singled out people. Please feel free to, after you finish your celebration.
If someone was having a birthday party, right?
Yeah.
I remember actually inviting the school bully at my school to my birthday party because I was so terrified. I was so terrified of what would happen if I didn't.
Right.
He took over the birthday party. Yeah, it might as well have just been his birthday party at the end. Hardly anyone even knew it was mine. Yeah, we 2 years that happened. Once we had it like at a soft play thing with trampolines and everything, he took it over completely. The other one was at a football, 5-a-side courts. Mm. I'd say
the first year. He's bang out of order. The second year, all of the blame lies with you, really. You've seen what happened the previous year.
And you still if I was honest with you, I was very much worried other people wouldn't come if he didn't come. And I knew that he liked teasing me enough that he would come to my birthday.
Oh, right. So, we've got cake and we're going to have like a bouncy castle stuff. But most of all, I'll be there and you can rip the shit out of me on my birthday. Is that what it was? Is that what the offer was?
The only 7-year-old. Who had his own roast at his birthday.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is, obviously, we've got all the trampolines, we've got all, like, the ball pit and stuff. Then we're going to have, my birthday cake. We've got a really cool birthday tea. And then Bleep Bleep is just going to rinse me for how shit the birthday party's been, and that will probably be, an hour and a half. And then, birthday bags, little action men in... I'm actually nearly crying even thinking about this now. I remember being devastated.
Did you put action men in the birthday bag?
Not action men, those little parachuting guys.
Oh, right. I was going to say, Jesus Christ, what kind of lifestyle were you leading?
Tragic would that be? My dad had to literally go out and spend fucking 20 quid on an action man for every kid just to see all of them pissing their pants as someone sort of laid into me.
Birthday bags are such a big deal, weren't they? A little slice of cake, a balloon.
Yeah. Maybe one of those parachute men or some sort of car type thing.
You know, it's become quite competitive now.
I can imagine.
Like the social etiquette of a birthday bag has actually become a new thing.
It always has been one
to get worried about. Do you reckon it was back in the day? Because now you see it and like people comment on it, man.
People actually mention it.
Did you hear about what they put in their birthday? That kind of conversation happens.
Snidey, man. Yeah, snidey.
It's mainly the swan, to be honest. I don't know why.
What were your birthday parties like as a kid?
I was the first kid to have a disco as a birthday party.
Really?
Yeah. And
wow.
My dad booked this guy to... You know... I remember it being a big thing because it went on till 9 and everyone was like, oh my God.
You're like the drippiest kid in the year.
Yeah, big.
See, this is the difference. How old were you then? What age?
How old was I then? 8 or 9, something like that.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, but I was ahead back then, do you know what I mean? Like, I just,
you, you know, but I was the, into things my, like I was this into my is music. What, This is where you say, oh, yeah, I had a real tough time. But then, like, you're like the coolest kid at school having a disco.
Yeah, but hold on. What you've got to remember, Tom, okay, is that if I was the coolest kid, I wouldn't have to have a fucking disco. Yeah? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? I had to, when you're a kid like me, you and yourself, I'm including yourself in this, you've got to put on a party that actually, over and above celebrating your birthday, has got to attract people. You've actually got to think about what the event brings to people.
Did you have anyone there who you didn't like?
There were a couple of people I would say on the edge. I wouldn't say there were people that bullied me, but there were a couple of people on the edge. I tell you what is very embarrassing. A girl that I was absolutely obsessed with was there.
Yeah.
And there is a photo that got captured of me sort of dancing near her. And it just looks like an innocent photo of a kid dancing, you know, a boy and a girl dancing near each other. But I know what was going through my head. Like at that time when that photo was taken, it really was like, "Well, this is my moment. I can maybe if I just dance near her, it'll overcome the fact that she hasn't wanted to talk to me at all in the past 2 years of being at school with her."
Was she like a new girl in the school? Or?
No. She was a girl I was obsessed. This is sad, tragic. I don't know how much this story is going to sort of how interesting this is, but I just want or how this gets across how tragic my obsession with this girl was. Right, so. We were at primary school together, and then we went off to different schools. And then I remember, like about a year later, maybe there was like a trip where we all went away for a weekend, and the girls are staying in one room, and the guys are staying in another. I must have been about 11 or 12 or something like that at the time. And then the girls came and stayed in our we all just had like a bit of a sleepover, and the girls came and stayed in our room. She was sleeping on the floor. I'm actually embarrassed about. How pathetic this is, right? I was so desperate to sort of engineer a, you know, like you fall asleep, but you fall asleep leaning on one of you leaning on the, I was so desperate to engineer a situation like that. I was on a bed. First of all, I hadn't given up my bed. I was on a bed and she was on the floor. That would have been the obvious thing to do, right? And then what I did was to try and sort of create some sort of contact. I actually sort of had my legs on the bed and my body sort of over the edge of it. And then my head on her legs. So I was like at a fucking 90-degree angle trying to generate some sort
of... All the blood going to your head.
Yeah, just absolutely one of the most uncomfortable nights I've ever had. It's so pathetic. And she was just probably lying there the whole night, just wide awake, just going, why the fuck is this guy on my legs? This is so awful.
Someone called in the teacher because Ramesh is fainting at like 3 a.m. because all the blood has gone.
I couldn't walk the whole of the next day. Just...
I remember, I think it was, yeah, I can't remember what year it had been, but anyway, like early years of sort of, did you do first school, middle school, then secondary school?
No, first school and then secondary school.
Yeah, so I did that like, weird middle school.
Oh, no, that's a complete lie. I did first school, middle school. And then
yeah, so middle school, like first school sort of obviously, you know, you're sort of just finding your way. You're sort of like middle school sort of, you sort of stabilize. Your sort of like place within the crowd is more stabilized, isn't it? And then sort of secondary school, you're sort of like you are what you are kind of vibe. But I remember at middle school, like a new girl joining the school, and you know, like everyone's just like, okay, like there's a new girl here. She sort of doesn't really sort of she wouldn't know what sort of massive where my standing is within things. And I remember the first sort of. Day that she came, like she was put in my form class, and I was like sitting next. She came and sat next to me. I was like quite a naughty kid at school, but not naughty in the way of like being nasty. I was dyslexic. I had ADHD, so I was sort of one of those thick kids who just sort of made up for the fact I didn't understand stuff by being really, really loud and just trying to make everyone like me. An ideal pupil, if you want. I sort of remember sitting next to me and then thinking, yeah, da da da. And I made her laugh a couple of times. I was like, and then we had, we had a school trip literally like 2 weeks later, right? And she hadn't really talked to many other people before this school trip, but like every school trip, the whole year goes, right?
Yeah.
So I sort of like was chatting to her a bit, da 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 da. And I asked her out before the school trip. I said, oh, you know, would you be my girlfriend? And like to my amazement and surprise, she said, yes, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that was, I think, like on the Friday. We went to the trip on Monday. She got onto the coach and dumped me by the time we'd fucking left the area, right? Like, literally,
what did she,
10
oh my, what did she say?
Because all of a sudden, there's all these, like, sort of all the other cool kids from the classes. She'd been put in this shit class with all the fucking, like, the mongrels like myself. Like, do you know what I mean? Idiots. And all of a sudden, she's seen all of this. Yeah, the football team, all the football boys were there, the jocks, the fucking cleverer kids. Mm. She's like, the world's open up. So she just walked up and she said, like, I'm finishing with you. So I started crying on the coach.
Oh, my God. Well done.
A relationship had been for 2 days where she was at her house, I was at mine. I think we spoke on the phone once, but I was in pieces. I was broken.
Mate, it's horrible.
Right. Just felt sick, and then sort of saw her sort of popularity with on that trip. She became the coolest person on that trip. You know, she got on with people. She sort of like, you know, and
what I find though is one of the things, and I'd love to give this as advice to people listening in. If any kids listening, if a girl does dump you, one of the things they find most attractive if you start crying and get really upset about it.
Yeah, but I was obsessed with Neighbours and Home and Away, and I'd seen how people dealt with relationship breakdowns there.
Right.
This is the saddest thing. For a long time after that, I would tell people she was my ex-girlfriend, even like at secondary school.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'd turn around and go, oh, yeah.
Secondary school? This poor girl just trying to fucking get you out of her life.
Just imagine going to a school that's not even near my house.
It's gone countywide. Every school knows.
Yeah, yeah. But you know that thing of like, someone would be like, oh, yeah, you know, did it? Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that girl. Yeah, 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 we like her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, I went out with her in like year five for quite a long weekend. It was, yeah, it was worth. Felt pretty deep, felt pretty hard.
Right, you know, I've talked about this in the book, so I apologise to anyone who's read the book, all three of you that have read the book and might have seen this story. But so that girl, you know that girl I was telling you about who I did the 90-degree angle? The worst thing, I don't know if I've told you this story. We went on a school trip to France, right? And have I told you this before?
No.
Anyway, we were on the trip. A few embarrassing things happened, which I won't go into details now, but the most embarrassing thing, we're on the bus, getting the minibus from this place back to the airport, right? And on the bus, before we get on the bus, the teacher goes, just so you know, we're not making any stops, so don't drink too much because we, you know, we're not going to go to the toilet until we get to the airport. So I go, all right. So we all go, okay. Anyway, I'm sitting on the minibus and I start talking to her, right? And it's really going well, like the best it's ever gone, this conversation, right? And we're chatting to her. She's laughing. I'm sort of doing the thing that I imagine you and I were exactly the same at school, yeah. Sort of self-deprecating humour where you absolutely talk about yourself like you're a fucking piece of fried dog shit.
Yeah, we've both grown out of that now.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Thank God we don't. Thank God our humour doesn't revolve around that anymore. But so I was like doing all the chatting and stuff. Then as we get closer to as we sort of move on in the journey. Oh, this is the thing that happened. I had a massive bottle of cola, right? And as I'm chatting to her, I'm just swigging from this. Every time I do a joke, you know, Mock the Week, how when they do a smasher, they take a sip of water. That was me. Yeah, yeah. Every time I did something that made her laugh, I'd like take a little drink from the bottle of cola.
Anyway, a little burp, like a little.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh my God, you're crazy.
It's so mad. Yeah. You drunk nearly a litre of cola.
Yeah, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, did Mrs. Sherlock say that we've got to make sure that we don't drink too much? I don't give a crap about that.
Yeah. Anyway. Are you worried about your teeth? Ah, get another pair, mate.
Yeah, yeah, no, don't worry. I'm going to have a lifetime of dentistry issues, but don't worry about that. Anyway,
well, I'll be terrified of the dentist.
You know, yeah, I drink a lot of cola, scared shitless of the dentist. It's a great combination. Anyway. But it's funny you mention that. Drinking a litre, I was like maybe 9 or 10 then, maybe, I guess, right? If my kids drank a litre, I think if I was a teacher and I saw a kid drinking from a proper full-size bottle of cola, I'd be like, you can't do that. But back then, I don't think people had the same attitudes towards sugar, man. It was crazy. Anyway, I've managed to turn this into a debate about children's nutrition for some reason. Anyway, so I'm drinking the cola, as we're getting on in the journey, I'm becoming absolutely fucking desperate for a piss, like really desperate. But I don't want to let on. And also I can't ask the teacher to stop because she specifically said, do not drink too much, right? Anyway, I start getting to the point where I think, okay, this is like, it's actually burning. It's actually burning.
You just sat there with a thick smile of like grinding your teeth.
No, that was exactly it. Just teeth grinding away. Just, I'm in absolute fucking agony. Do you know that thing where you actually start to feel emotional? Like yeah, in my yeah, head, yeah. I started thinking, there can't be a God, because if there was a God, he wouldn't let me need a piss as much as I do right now. So anyway, we get to the airport and I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell, thank God. Right. So we get out the minibus, right? All the luggage is coming off. That's taking fucking ages, right? And then
you two do dancing from foot to foot.
Yeah,
at this
I'm
point.
Just sort of like trying not. Like, also, you know that dance from foot to foot is a giveaway, so I'm just trying to stand still, so that this girl doesn't let like cotton on to the fact that I'm absolutely bursting. This is what happens, right? We get the luggage onto a trolley. We go to the checkout desk, and the teacher says, and then I go, "Can I go to the toilet?" Right? She goes, "Yeah." A few of us go. But we're still in view of the checkout desk, right? I run over to the toilet, right? Run over to the.
How fast are you running?
Really, like really fucking fast, right? As
but my the sports teacher's just sitting there thinking, yeah. I might get Ranganathan in the fucking yeah. sprint team.
That little fat prick's not moved this quickly all year. Anyway, as I put my hand on the door to open it, my body goes, "You've made it."
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I swear to you, this is what happened. I piss myself with my door on my hand on the door of the toilet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just as your bag with your clean clothes is being sent to the fucking luggage department.
So, mate. I then go into the toilet. I just go to everyone, oh my God, I've just wet myself, right? One of them has to go out and speak to the teacher in front of the whole group. They get my suitcase out, get another pair of jeans, and they get delivered to
the
toilet.
Another pair of underpants.
And then I have to come out.
Oh my God.
And then get on the flight with everyone. Everyone's seeing I'm wearing a completely different pair of jeans to the ones I had on earlier. Oh my God. Awful.
Did you sort of mention it ever to anyone, or was that
no,
sort of folklore?
No, do you know what? It's one of those things where I reckon the teacher would have gathered them round and gone, look, while I was sort of getting changed, and sort of said that I know this is going to be very embarrassing for Ramesh. And then this is the fourth time this week. But I'd imagine she would have given him like a little chat to go. Let's all just pretend this didn't happen.
But was it ever talked about at school again?
No.
That's the luckiest thing.
No, but I wonder if it was just so humiliating. It was a lot. Honestly, I can't explain it to you. It was like the way it happened was like something out of fucking American Pie. You know the way they write those things to be the most. It was like that. So I reckon it was so embarrassing and humiliating, it just sort of pushed it into another dimension. It's like when you're on a panel show and they show a funny clip and they ask you to make a comment on it. You can't do anything because the thing itself was funny. I reckon that's what it was. The satirists at my school were unable to add anything to that because...
You went to a nicer school than me, man. Like, literally, you'd be ruined for that sort of thing. Like, there was no fucking gloves. It was a bare-knuckle kind of vibe.
I tell you when they did put on gloves to sort of take my jeans back off me to put into the suitcase. And then they put
into
a carrier
bag. Did any of the teachers come and help you?
No.
Did you wash as well? Or just...
Did I wash?
No.
I sort of rinsed down the inside of my thighs by the sink.
Fuck you.
Can I ask you a question? How hot is the food that you can eat? How good are you with spicy food?
I used to be pretty good. I reckon my key to hotness has sort of dropped off. I still vibe a bit with it, but sometimes what I'd say is it doesn't like me as much as I like it, without being too graphic.
Yeah, yeah. I have the same issue, and sort of without also getting too graphic. I bought these. I was recommended these super hot noodles.
I saw your post.
I'm addicted to instant noodles, right?
Can I just say quickly, actually, just on that? Yeah. I think my favourite post of, like, so England are playing. It's one of England's biggest games in a long, long time. Social media, even me, I'm culpable of this. It's just full of people saying it's coming home and fucking, oh, I told you, it's whatever. And then in the Insta stories, genuinely, it just made me so happy is that you put up a picture of some super hot noodles that you've been recommended. No one even thought of you.
No, but the truth. I know. Do you know what? I did actually, because like, you messaged me. I think you just messaged me off the back of that. And I realised how mad that must have looked. But then also, I was very excited about the game, obviously. And like, but I just didn't have anything to add. Do you know what I mean?
Also, when I saw those noodles, I remarked to the other people there who at this time were in a conversation about something else completely different, and I basically sort of was ostracised from that moment. I said, oh, well, these noodles must be good, Ramesh has put up about. Because, you know, after the 4-0 England win, he's put up about some noodles. They must be better than the England win. And everyone was like, get the fuck up.
God, is that you? Is he banging on about the owl again? Yes, we get it. You do a podcast. Anyway, I ate so over the last couple of years, I have amended what I eat because of the possible after effects. I used to be in a thing where I just didn't think about it. I'd eat whatever I wanted, whenever.
Yeah,
and I've changed that with age. That behavior has changed. Anyway, these noodles were so hot. But so are mate. Like, I really enjoyed them. What I would say is the payoff of them, it's the first time in a long time I've had an experience like that. Very, very difficult to... I would describe their movement through my intestine as, like, it felt like there was a tiny creature with a knife trying to fucking burst its way out of my...
Really?
It was,
you felt it through your intestine? That's real hot.
Mate, yeah, it was pretty full on.
But I find now it literally goes through all of my organs if I have hot food.
Really?
Like, yeah, heartburn, fucking noticing my lung and kidneys. It's fucking like...
Literally lung?
Yeah, because of the breathing, heat.
Oh, I see, right, okay, fine.
Yeah. It's fucking, yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I saw those noodles and saw that you put up, I think I would try them. But,
yeah.
You know, but you can handle hotter stuff than I can, I'd imagine.
I don't know if that's true anymore. I used to think that was true, but I don't think so anymore. But like, somebody sent me an article after I posted about them saying that some bloke had them and went deaf for 2 days.
What?
Yeah, apparently like he had like a blocked sinuses or whatever. And where they were so hot, they messed with like whatever he had, whatever gunk he had inside him, and it like moved to his ear canal or something.
Became toxic?
Not became toxic. It just sort of moved it and loosened it, and then he couldn't hear properly for 2 days.
Jesus.
But that's one bloke.
Yeah, but how bad that they could turn mucus in your body against you?
Well, I mean, mucus has never been working in your favour. Oh, no, mucus is there for a reason. No,
mucus is your friend. Mucus is the thing trying to start. I mean, look, I know that I don't want to out-doctor you, but yeah, mucus, mate, you want mucus on your side. In a battle of, like, wits, mucus is the person you're like, oh, I know I've got mucus with me.
No, I get it. Yeah, mucus is good. Again, you've elongated explaining that to me. So where did you watch the game last night?
Just with some friends, just a very chilled vibe. Mm. Me and you, are we making a plan for the semi-final or?
So some people have been messaging about this phenomenon of celebs or whatever going to these football matches. And Tom and I have been talking about the fact that you can get tickets to these games, but the prices are...
Adidas, big shout out Adidas for the Scotland game. But my ticket to the Germany game wasn't a gift. It was paid for. If I'm honest with you, I can't afford to be going to... The tickets now for semi-finals and the finals are just insane. So, yeah, I don't know. We've been offered tickets, but yeah, I wouldn't be able to look my wife in the eye if I paid the amount of money they're saying.
I do. I'm sometimes slightly dishonest about things like that, but I still can't do it. But anyway, let's watch it together though. We'll watch it together, Summer.
Yeah.
I watched the game at home with the boys and Lisa, and it just felt like every time Lisa left the room, England scored.
Really?
And then, yeah. Have you ever had that thing where you suddenly get a
superstition? Did you remark about this to the boys and then they were telling her to get out of the room? Or?
No, I didn't. So I noticed it, but I didn't comment on it because for exactly that reason. I know you're waiting for me to say yes, so that you could go in 2 foot and go, oh, could I just say on behalf of the Swan, it was classically despicable behaviour by you or whatever. I didn't comment on it, but Lisa did. But Charlie, what do you think of this? I know you're not a parent, but I'd still be interested in your opinion on this. So three boys, 11, 9 and 6, right?
Yeah.
We let the two older ones stay up the whole game, but we made Charlie go to bed at half-time. Oh. Is that out of order?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are you going to let him stay up for the semis?
I don't know. We haven't talked about it. I don't know. What do you think?
I'd let him stay up. Yeah, I mean, how's
that's
Alex?
That's what I used to be like. But the thing is that when you do that, you're basically going, can I please take a big shit on my following day? Because when they go to bed late, the next day is a fucking nightmare. You're kind of protecting themselves from themselves, really, in a way. I mean, that's what parenting
is. Do they sleep in or?
Charlie doesn't, no. Charlie's like, he was up at 6 today.
I can't imagine Charlie was happy about it. Was he upset or?
No, he accepted it, man. Do you know what? Credit to that kid. He was grateful that he was allowed to watch the first half.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically he got sent off, but he didn't like have a go at the referee. He basically, you'd be the referee. He'd probably be like, you know, I'd imagine Jadon Sancho. He gets sent off. He doesn't argue with you. He's like, fair enough. All right. Okay. That you're just doing your job. And I'll take my medicine.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? We're talking about an hour and a half after his normal bedtime, right? So, you know, it's quite a big concession. The thing that broke my heart is this morning he got up, walks into our bedroom and goes, what was the final score? And then we have to tell him that he missed 3 of the 4 goals. What are you laughing at? It's a sad story.
It's a sad story, but I'd have let him stay up.
I've just literally started that story that it broke my heart.
No, but I don't know.
Laughing your little wolf tits off at it.
No, I do feel sorry for Charlie. If I was you, I'd make it up to him somehow.
I will do. I will make up to him. I will make up to him.
Maybe take him to a soft play or something. Have you got a little soft play near you? Or?
I don't, are you a soft play centre's open? I don't know if they're opening
again. I don't know. It would be weird if I knew, wouldn't it, really? With no kids.
You're an expert on when those sort of things are open, Tom.
You're always lurking about them.
Yeah. Can you tell me what the term dates are as well for next year? But truthfully, you've given me some food for thought. I might talk to Lisa about letting him stay. Because semi-finals, like, who knows when that will happen again?
Well, I think it'll happen in Qatar next year, but...
Okay, but what I'm saying is who knows...
And then he'll be a year older.
And then he'll probably just be able to watch it. So what? So yeah, what
also
are you
the
saying?
Time difference will be shocking, won't it, for him then?
All right. Well, I'm gonna say now.
Let him stay up. I mean, you do take the chance if he goes into extra time and penalties, but yeah, if I'm honest with you, he'll be nodding off by then anyway.
So. I think we've got to make an extra time and penalties decision before the game. And
yeah, because let's be honest as well, the final kicks off at like 4 o'clock, so he'll be fine for the final.
Yeah.
But also, Charlie will probably be nodding off anyway, so just basically let him nod off, fall asleep, and then he can sleep on the sofa that night, and then just wake him up in the morning, or when you get home drunk.
Do you remember being a kid and your parents, I don't know if this happened to you a lot, your parents going to someone's house for like dinner or whatever. This happens a lot to me because my parents used to go to someone's house for dinner all the time, right? Because they used to just go to different Sri Lankan families' houses go for dinner, right? And then you'd be in the car on the way home and you'd fall asleep.
Yeah.
I used to hate it when we got home after that. Like I wanted that journey. You get so comfortable in the car and then you pull up at your house and then my dad would come over and sort of just pick you up. I used to think to myself, just leave me in the car. You lock the door, leave me in the car. We're just outside the house anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? But obviously that's why kids aren't in charge of their own care, because that would be an insane thing to do.
It's sad to think that you'll never have that sensation again as an adult.
What, of being asleep and being lifted onto someone's shoulder?
Yeah, and then just put into sort of like, you know, your bed and just sort of in your own, you know, waking up the next morning, you're sort of, you know, your clothes, but your shoes have been taken off.
Yeah, I love that.
Do you remember like when you used to go around to sort of like, you know, your mum and dad would go around someone's house and they you know, you'd go and just the feeling of like playing and not wanting to go home? Like the world everything felt on a different time zone.
Mate, I remember like you'd be playing with your mates around there and then you'd go, can we stay the night? Is obviously the worst thing your parents could just, of course you fucking can't. Are you mad? We're trying to figure out a way of leaving this dinner. And you're talking about staying the night, you little shit. That's what they thought. But you'd be so desperate just to extend the night. Do you know what I mean?
Especially if one of them had a toy that you'd been after for ages.
Yeah, yeah. Just think, fucking unbelievable. This kid. I remember going around to a kid's house who had Optimus Prime.
Oh man!
And just be like, this kid doesn't deserve Optimus Prime.
I mean, like, you're the coolest kid. Well, actually, he wasn't very cool. His parents actually weren't very happy. But I was about to name him, but I haven't. I stopped short.
Well done. You've shown me straight a couple of times there now.
Yeah, yeah. But he had like nearly every Mask Crusaders toy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. He'd like Bounty Hill and all that sort of stuff. Boulder Hill, sorry, and all that. And, you know, mate, it was unreal. Like, his room was like the Mask universe. Like, I remember just like walking into his room. And about 2 years before, we'd been at a dinner party there, and his whole room was Star Wars. And then but he didn't really like playing with his toys. He was quite, do you know what I mean? He'd sort of have them and he'd more model them in situations, whereas I'd give them voices and play with them. And he sort of, yeah, all my toys. And I used to cover my toys in like red marker pen to signal blood. But yeah.
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine your parents walking in on that? Oh God, he's drawing blood on there.
Yeah, but the blood never came off. So he'd sort of like, yeah. Yeah.
What is that t-shirt? I love your t-shirt, by the way.
It is a Goofy t-shirt, but it says Goofy like it's Gucci.
Yeah, no, I get that. Oh, sorry, you're actually explaining for the listener.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I am, yeah. It's amazing guy called Bowl Cut Gums.
I think I might, do you know what? I think I might hit them up.
Yeah, I've got some amazing t-shirts. Yeah, yeah, he's a good
actually,
guy.
Actually, while we're on the subject of t-shirts, I want to give a shout out to Dirty Velvet. Do you know Dirty Velvet?
No, I've not seen Dirty Velvet.
They do some nice t-shirts. They've got like some funny t-shirts. Like, I was about to describe it and then I realised you just absolutely coped me off. But they've got some good t-shirts. Anyway.
You're quite remiss with that, in a way.
What do you mean?
Well, you were going to sort of like launch in with Dirty Velvet and now you're sort of giving them a half they fucking shout
they, out. Sorry, I've just got a load of t-shirts off of them, paid for. Yeah. And they're just really nice. They've got like a thing where but the reason I was remiss or whatever, I sort of half-assed that, is because I couldn't think of a good example of one of the things they've got on there. But like, they've got one where there's like a jockey, but the horse is riding him. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of
like political stuff.
It's not political, no, but I did really like that. The vegan in me got a hard on for that. We'll be right back. time for some emails.
Yeah, boy.
Hi, Wolf, Al, and the real hero, the Swan. Yet again, pandering to that woman's ego. That's why you've got selected. Love the pod. Was hoping you could help me out with a personal dilemma. I've always had really crooked teeth. It's affected my self-confidence. I've never let anyone know it. At the same time, I've had a crippling fear of dentists. It's a very common problem. In fact, I didn't visit a dentist properly for 15 or more years until recently. Anyway, I've got over my fear now, and I booked an appointment with an orthodontist to assess options about straightening my teeth. My only worry is due to how long the whole process takes, upwards of 2 years. As I'm 34, I'm a bit self-conscious about doing this. To put this in some context, I emailed photos to a dental centre in Turkey who told me they were too crooked for them to help me out. Fucking hell. So I'm really in two minds. Is it a bit ridiculous getting braces in my mid-30s, or should I just man up and live with it? Cheers, the crocodile.
Yo, crocodile, I'm going to come straight in here and give you a little bit of self-reward, and I'm going to make you feel better about yourself. I'm having exactly this thing done myself, and I'm 42. I'm having this done after my next job. I'm booked in. I'm getting Invisalign. Because my bottom teeth are basically getting more and more crooked, and their gaps in them are getting bigger and bigger. So I'm going to get it done. So the croc, if I can do that at 42, you can do it. I need you to just think, right? You're 32 now. It'll take 2 years, so you'll be 34 when it's done, right? The rest of your life will then, you know, that thought of your crooked teeth. Like, I hate my bottom teeth getting in pictures and stuff. I'm very, very conscious about them. I try and talk like that. I don't show them too much.
It's literally the first time you've done anything like that with your mouth.
So for 2 years of, the braces, they're also, Invisalign, you won't even notice them. So for those 2 years, you can go from, number one, it's a great conversation starter, right? And number two, at the end of it, you're going to have these beautiful straight teeth. You're going to be really happy with your new teeth. And I tell you what, you will be riding through Confidence City with the most confident car, just saying, I own life. Yo, croc.
Yeah, listen, crocodilo, let me hit you up with a little bit of extra knowledge for you, for that ass. I'm doing it too, okay?
Are you really?
Yeah, so can you see here?
Yeah.
Can you see there? So that all of my bottom teeth are crooked, right? Yeah. There's like a little crookedy bit. So they want to straighten that out because apparently that's just going to get worse and worse or whatever. So over the next... I think I start in like a month's time. That's so weird that you and I have just realised that we're doing it at the same time, man.
I'll probably be after you. I'll be in October.
You know what? You and I, sometimes I think that we're as close as we're ever going to be. And then something like this happens. I think, oh my God.
Two kindred spirits just set sail on the teeth journey.
We're just kindred kith and kin. You know?
Yeah.
That's what
it's quite nice just to think, like, again, it's going back to that old thing about this footprints in the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, right. Do you know what? We were saying about, isn't it nice? It's a shame we never had that feeling about being lifted onto someone's shoulder and put into bed. But you know what? Sometimes I feel like, just maybe, you're putting me on your shoulder.
You know? Well, I feel the same about you. Sometimes.
Do you like the way did you notice what I did? I sort of became a bit you-ish. Did you like it?
No, I saw what you did. But I was about to say that, I mean, I could have been you and gone, yeah, right. But listen, my happiest times are just sitting aside your back. I sometimes feel like the horse in that picture. Like, you're the jockey and you're letting me ride you.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Okay. Hope we helped you out, crocodile. Okay, next email is anonymous.
Okay.
Hi, Wolf, Al, and Swan. The email being read out about my wedding day was listened to with great joy, and even though none of my family did not arrive, father was in hospital as an exception, the day was fantastic and married life is wonderful. Just wanted to ask about something which has always annoyed me, but now married, I find it even more frustrating. I started dating my wife 5 years ago. I wanted to spend a lot of time with her. My choice, because she's always amazing to be around. It always came with comments such as me being whipped or under the thumb. It really used to annoy me. Now that we're married, people at work are now saying stuff like she's now the old ball and chain or life is never going to be the same again, which in my opinion isn't true. We still look at each other like we did on our first date. I do a lot of the housework cooking because her job is more demanding than mine, so I don't mind. She's a teacher. But again, comes back with the comments as bad as me not being manly enough. How do I deal with it? Or somehow are they right? It makes you question yourself a lot. But my wife always tells me how she appreciates what I do, and that's enough for me as long as she's happy. Anyway, keep up the amazing work. From Anonymous.
Anonymous, I wish I knew your goddamn name because you sound like an absolute G. Look, we've talked about this before. A lot of that will come down to jealousy. And I think sometimes that side of things is, I think it's a sad case of state of affairs, but I think sometimes that is just the way that men think, that, you know, in the hierarchy of men, that the way that they can get their social standings up a sort of level or two. You know, I actually was at the football the other week with someone who was literally everything sort of, everything nice that anyone else had to say, he sort of jumped on the back wagon of like sort of talking about kids, and it was like sort of everyone sort of talking about nice moments with their children or whatever. He'd be like, oh, fucking hell, you know, I've got three of the little and, you know, and I fucking, you know, just fucking annoying and all that. And you're like, well, why have them? Why have three? After one, surely, you know. But I should say that this person wasn't Ramesh.
Wow. No, to be fair, I would never say that. I would only say that on stage.
Yeah, no, I know, I'm joking. I'm pulling your plonker, my baby. And then we started talking about a bit of halves and stuff, and he was just like absolutely going two-footed in on his wife. And I was just thinking, either like this is all bluster or none of you're severely depressed and nothing in your life, which sounds like actually quite an amazing life, makes you happy. Like, but, you know, and then I've made a comment about sort of cooking at home, and like you said, and he was going in like, fucking, you know, the truth of the matter is, after a while, I just realized that all he was doing is the same stuff that, you know, older men that I worked on building sites, you know, and being around when I was younger, that was just the gusto that they entered. Like even to go to the point of saying, you know what, I'm happy with my lot. I'm happy at home. You know, I'm happy with how stuff's turned out. Would seem like almost sort of like resigned to the fact that sort of like you're anything but sort of like a geezer. And I think, I think the truth of the matter is, mate, you haven't got to deal with it. Let them deal with it. That's your life. You're running your race. You're by the sounds of things, your wife appreciates you. And if I'm honest, mate, you know, once you both put that ring on your finger, who gives a fuck what anyone else thinks? You're there to make their life happier, your life happier. And that's what you're there for. And, you know, keep doing you, brother.
Well, you got quite, felt like you got quite angry there about that.
No, I just think that people get waylaid by like worrying what too much in this modern world about, you know, what anyone else thinks. And I say this, and I don't say it with jest. Do you, like, generally, it doesn't matter. If other people don't like the way you're living your life, if other people don't like the way you are, fuck them. It really is like, you know, if you're just there to make your wife happy, don't get me wrong, if you're like, you know, going out on the weekends with placards that sort of like were slightly on the wrong side of fucking life, then you've got a problem. But if people have got the zig with you because you're trying to make the person that you love, make their life easier and do nice things for them, and people are giving you shit for that, that's not on you, that's on them. And like, yeah, just, yeah, it grinds my gears.
Great advice from Tom there. I do think, like, blokes have this thing where they feel like they have to, I think it's gone away a little bit, but the blokes do have this thing where they feel like they have to sort of slag off their situation at home. It's sort of the thing that they go to. I remember, like, when my dad had the pub, just, like, the way that people would talk about their other halves was incredible. Do you know what I mean? It's be like, anyway, I better finish this pint and get back to her, otherwise she'll be fucking on my case. You know what she's like, fucking. I just think to myself, do you know how grateful you should be that somebody wants to spend their life with you? Do you know what I mean? It's just so mad. Do you know what I mean? It's so mad that you could be dismissive of this. Somebody wants to spend the rest of their life with you. Like, fucking hell.
You know, just jumping on that, the thing that used to get me when, like, fucking people used to do that, and like, I was single a lot this time. Like, if a guy would sort of say exactly what you said there and then go, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to have another one. Everyone would treat him like he just got back from a war. I was some sort of fucking hero. There's a back slap. And then someone would turn around and go, oi, Grant, I'm getting this one for you. What? No, I'm getting this one for you, mate. If you're having one more, I'm getting that pint. And everyone would cheer that guy. I mean, and you think there's a woman somewhere just sitting there, bless her, and she's made him dinner and like, you know.
I know. It's horrible.
And this is the meekness that he come back with and goes, sorry, yeah, Grant's going through some stuff, so I just have one more pint with him. But
yeah, it's funny, man. It's like you constantly find yourself in conversations where somebody's really putting the boot in on their missus or whatever, and then you feel like you sort of think I should say something to sort of join in with the conversation. Do you know what I mean? But then I just feel so bad. I don't feel the same way. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, that's slightly different to what you're talking about. What I would say is this would be a problem if you were unhappy about it. But if you're not unhappy about the situation at home, it just doesn't matter. Your mates, all these people that are giving you these comments, they've got a lot of the time when people say this stuff, it's coming from an insecurity their end, right? So it's possible that these people that are having a go at you don't do as much for at home for their other halves. And so they're seeing you do more than that. And they've got two options to believe. They can either believe that they're inconsiderate and they don't do enough at home, or they can believe that you're whipped and that you're not running your relationship properly. And that's the reason you do it. And that option means that they don't have to accept any of the blame. So that's the easier option for them to go to, right? And so that is why they're having a go at you about it in however jokingly they're framing it. What I would say to you is, you're doing it right. Keep engaging your relationship the way that you are. The fault is with these other people. You take your relationship and you take it to the max. Okay? That's my advice to you.
Wow. I love how you got the max there, boy.
Yeah, well, it's just that you did do you, and I'm really trying to take it to the max to sort of stick.
Maybe get a tattoo of it.
Yeah, maybe I should. Where should I get that done?
Just like as a tramp stamp.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Every time Lisa's pegging me, she can see it.
Pegging you? When you're doing the washing up.
Oh, God. Okay. Hi, Swan, Al and Wolf. Thanks so much for the podcast. Love it. And I'm coming to see Romesh in January. After years of trying to sell my house. Oh, thank you, by the way, for coming to see me. After years of trying to sell my house, I finally did it and have bought what we feel is our dream home. It's been quite the process, but moved in 2 weeks ago and immediately felt delighted with it. Within 5 days of living in said dream home, my oldest friend of 50 years had an offer accepted on the house next door. She asked me my opinion, saying the friendship was worth more than any house. I gave it, but the deal had already been done. I've been absolutely livid, as I think it's a really odd thing to have done. I'll add that I just don't believe that they love the house, which makes it all the more odd to me. I explained that although I loved her to bits, it just felt strange being neighbours. Her daughter has got involved and dragged my daughter into it, to the point that we were all a bit fallen out. They now said that they've pulled out of the sale, but the developer is saying that's not the case. I don't feel like I've done anything wrong and still feel upset, disappointed and mad about it. I'd love to know what you guys think. I'd rather you didn't include my name for obvious reasons, but keep doing you sweet, sweet souls. This is quite a tricky one, isn't it?
You know what, this, of all the conundrums that we've steered and all the things we've been through, this is a very tricky one. It's because the difficult thing is, right?
Yeah.
And respect to this person because they've shown the card of saying, like, you know, oh, I don't feel easy about this. So, I mean, they've done that. I'd have sent an email and gone, what should I do first off? And I'd have said, we're going to have to suck it up. Because what would be worse is if you say something and they still go through the sale of buying this house and then end up living next door to you and you've fallen out. That would be the most awkward situation. The truth of the matter is, I don't know what you could even do from now. I suppose it's a sit down. I suppose if your kids have all got involved, it's going to make it even worse. You know, it's going to sort of get... I think it's a strange, strange thing, number one, that this person didn't come to you and say, hey, look, we've looked at the house next door to you. We're thinking about buying you. Would that be weird? Right? That would be the first... That would be the bads with that situation that they've not done that. But having not done that and then just... sort of a surprise, brought a house next door. I mean, that is genuinely like me buying a house next door to you.
I don't know if I'd mind that, to be honest with you. I think I'd quite like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like living next door to you. That would be fun. Mm. Yeah, it would be a laugh. But then, you know, it could become quite overly toxic, like all the time.
Well, yeah. What do you do? You're not going to be knocking on the door all the time.
Yeah, well, if I live next door to you, mate, you've seen how much I text and call you. If I live next door to you, there's a good chance that, like, if I was bored, which happens quite a lot because I have quite serious ADHD, or if I'm going through any kind of anxiety, my wife would go, why don't you just go and, Catherine would just be, go and knock on my message door, see how he is. And then it would, because you wouldn't be in, you'd be on tour, I'd end up just chatting to poor Lisa. Or Alex or Charlie. Or I mean, Theo's too old now. He just told me to piss off. But I'd become that annoying that fucking Charlie would start moving his bedtime forward. He really goes,
Charlie, it's only 4 o'clock.
No. It's all right, Big Tom. No, I like to get an early night. No, he's sleeping right through till 9.
Yeah, I still think I'd like it if you live next door.
I'd love it. I would love it. I mean, look, if you're up for it, yeah. I don't know if I could afford to live in your.
I'm saying hypothetical.
Yeah, but I couldn't afford to live in your neighbourhood just now.
Here we go.
Oh, no, mate. In my dreams, I could fucking afford a house on Maple Pines.
Oh, God. Well, look, this is what I think about this is the situation you've got is that, you know, you kind of implied why you're so upset about this because you've bought your dream home. You've bought your dream home. You've been building up to this for ages and ages. And then your neighbor's just gone or your mate's just gone and done the same thing. And that is, you know, suddenly you sort of feel slightly threatened by that, I think. You know, like, it's sort of, this is the thing that you've been building up to, and then suddenly somebody you know is doing exactly the same thing, and there's a bit of, I'm not going to say, it's not an ego thing, it's just like, you feel like your dream's slightly being tarnished by the fact that your friend's moving in next door. But like Tom said, the absolute worst would be if they moved in next door with you having fallen out. I honestly think, as I do with a lot of these things, and so I apologise if this isn't helpful, is this is as big or as small a deal as you make it in your head. I just think that what I would advise you to do is actually try and quantify what the problem is here. Like, what is it? Because what you've talked about is, I think this is a bit weird, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Like make a list of the negatives that's going to have on your lifestyle as a result of it. Is it because you think that they're going to knock on your door all the time? In which case, you can say that to your friends. Do you think it's because they're going to be too much in your life? Well, say that. You know, these things can be controlled and managed. If it's just because you feel a bit pissed off that this is your dream move and now they're doing your dream move, it feels like they're copying you. Well, you can just let go of that straight away. You can just stop feeling like that if you want to, if you choose to. So it's like a thing of like figuring out what exactly about this annoys you, you know, because the truth is, what about that annoys you might be something that you've just created. If it's something tangible, those things can always be dealt with. But it doesn't feel like you've kind of figured out what exactly it is that annoys you about it. So
that is some sweet, sweet advice, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That is genuinely. I'd say that's up there with your best advice that you've ever given on this podcast. Genuinely, that isn't just advice for this situation. I think that is good advice for anyone going through anything. If you wanted to take one thing away from this podcast and it's 45 episodes, that advice is there. Boom.
Wow. Thanks, Tom. That's really...
I mean it, man.
It's really sweet of you. I'm waiting for the little rug pull there.
No, there's no rug pull. Do you know what I think you've done? Is for any adult listening to this who's maybe sleeping on a problem in the back of a car, you've picked them out of the back and you go, rest your head on my shoulders. I'm going to take you to bed.
Why don't you put yourself on the floor and I'll pivot myself at a 90-degree angle, cinch myself at the waist and put my head in your sweet, sweet shins.
Give myself some quite serious internal problems.
Just in a desperate attempt to make it feel like you and I
just locate my urethra from my penis.
Yeah. You are not going to sleep a wink the whole night.
I love the idea that that's her flipper. That story is her sitting there going, "Yeah," and it's like weird boy who was in our school, rested his head on my legs.
She actually got in touch with me.
Did she really?
And said I had no idea that that was what it was like from your end. I don't know how the sleeping on the shins didn't give it away. But that is the sort of thing that you would say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I had no idea that
I wonder if she heard that story and read that story and just looked at whoever she's with, like her husband, who I'm sure is called like Douglas or fucking Fabian or something, and was like, oh my God, that was me. I was that girl.
Yeah. And Fabian went, let's have sex again. Okay, Tommy, it's about that time, brother. What a beautiful hour of chat this has been. What happened there? You just sort of, you look like you surprised yourself.
Not my elbow on this one bait blades from Phillips.
What is that? What do you store in that room? Because I don't know what it is you don't have in that room.
There's just loads of bits and bobs. Actually, while I'm here, best beard oil I've ever had, Tom Ford.
Really?
Oh, it's beautiful.
You were talking about that the other day.
It's incredible. We were
coming
stuff.
Back from the league, oh. The league record.
Man, it's just changed my beard.
How does it change your beard?
So soft.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's soft, it's thick, it's luscious. It was good, boy. I can't stop touching it. I'm like, yeah. It's, you know, like when you're a little boy and you first find out you've got a willy and a balls and you got to fill them with them. I'm like out of my beard now.
I first found pubic hair was in a Chinese restaurant. Not in the meal. I went to the toilet.
Did you come back and tell everyone?
I think I might have told my mum, you know.
How old were you? God.
20... No, sorry. Such a root one joke. Can't remember, like 10 or 11, maybe? Maybe 11.
Yeah.
I remember it being a single hair.
Yeah, that's how they come. I remember the underarm ones, like one at a time. Wheezy old traveller. You really got to respect that first hair in any body part.
little hello, my little pioneer. You do?
The one that I fucking wasn't so happy to see was the first hair that fucking rocked up on my fucking ass. Like an unwanted army.
Yeah. The other one I'm not too keen on is a couple of ear have started to appear.
Yeah, you know what? That's the trouble with hair. At first, they're just all in the places that you want, and then they just get. Yeah. It's like a zombie war of hairs.
It's like, guys, we're going to head off. We're gonna leave here, and we're gonna head to exactly where this guy doesn't want us.
Yeah,
that's the big aim.
Yeah, for me more than anyone, because hair has taken over my whole body apart from the one place it's supposed to be. Small fucking community on the fucking top of a mountain have gone. Right, let's get a helicopter out of here. Look what's happening below.
Oh God, Tom, what a pleasure to chat to you this week, right, brother. Okay, can you do us the honour of taking us out?
Yo, what is hope? What is hope? Hope is the feeling that something amazing, something incredible is going to happen. And there's a lot of people in the world who will say it's the hope that will kill you, or don't hope for amazing things because they might never happen. I argue this. Because for me, hope is the greatest feeling of all. It's the apprehension that something's going to change, something big's going to change. And the space in your heart that used to be full of certain things, there's something else that's going to be added to it, a moment or something else that you kept the faith with, that you believed that this thing, this one thing was going to take over, was going to happen. Some people don't ride on the wave of hope because they think that wave might never make it to the shore, or they feel silly for even getting on the wave, so they just watch other people surf. And when those people fall just before the shore, or when those people can't surf and they can't ride the board, they go, oh, I told you so. But what they don't realize is for those few seconds that people stood upon the wave of hope on a surfboard, that they would go, oh my God, this is amazing. And yes, they fall flat in the sea, but they tried and they believed at least for a second. So I'm saying to you all now, next time something comes into your life, and it could be the smallest of things, and if you are asked to hope and to believe and to dream, do it. Not for the outcome, but for the ride.
Oh, mate, that last line was a killer. Holy shit. Did you know you were building up to that?
Nah, I made it all up in the spot.
That was beautiful.
My guy. I had to jump off the back of that advice that you gave. And I
thought, my God, that was, that last line was insane. Man. Holy shit. I mean, the whole thing was good, but I didn't think you were going to pull out a punchline like that, my dude.
That's somehow how I roll.
Oh.
And you know how I roll like that? Because every time I get tired and I get frail, I've got the best of friends who helps me to bed. Thank you for being you, brother.
Oh, my God. Oh, Tommy, what a pleasure, mate. Guys, we will see you on Friday, hopefully, unless something happens.
And we could be Euro European Championships finalist.
Yes, absolutely right. What an exciting... Oh, shit. Speaking of which, have you got a prediction for the Denmark game?
Yeah, I have. I think it is... I think it'll be slightly tougher, but I think we've got goals in this one. And I don't think we're going to concede. So I will go... I'm going to go 3-0.
Okay, so Tom's gone 3-0. Sorry, I sort of was surprised there by... It can be tougher. That doesn't sound that tough.
No, but I think they'll be more resilient, but I think we've just got the means now. I think the confidence is there.
I doubted you last time, so listen, if you listen to this, lump on. I'm going to go 1-0.
Wow.
See what happens.
Yeah.
Well, I just think Denmark are tough.
But, mate, Harry Kane, Sterling, Sancho, Grealish, Foden, make the list mount. The list can go on. And I tell you who.
Yeah, of course, you could go for
Harry
the whole
Maguire
squad,
has got a taste of goals now. And I tell you, there's one thing Harry Maguire loves eating. That's goals.
He loves eating goals.
Mate, get ready, because it's a coming home.
He's going to be tucking into a big plate of goals. You know what he does first thing in the morning? He can have a bowl of goals. And he adds some milk. And he fucking eats them. That's what Harry Maguire does. Okay, guys, thank you very much. See you next time. Love you. Bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.